And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Another Monday, lads, and another session podcast of giving out about refereeing decisions. This is just becoming a theme. We'll get them out of the way anyways. We have a lot of outrage on the mooring sending off more than anything else. I don't think anyone surely could give out about the Gleeson one.
No way.
Second yellow was a yellow. First one you'd say, geez, that was harmless.
Yeah.
But because the second one was so bad, there's no one giving... Anyway, because I saw a few tweets yesterday about this. Ken McGrath said, I'd be sent off on the bus before the match the way the game is going. Joke. Old Larkin replies to this, at scandalous the way it is now. It's getting more and more like soccer. Players know there's a fair chance a lad will be sending off and they're starting to make the most of things. JJ, I'll start with you, and then Michael, you can give your thoughts on it. What do you think, lads? Is this just outrage for the sake of outrage, or is there something in all this?
I think there's genuinely worry where it's going to go, to be honest with you. If it stays continuing the way it's going, I think referees have to realise how probably a vital decision to send an off is going to be. Because the game is so quick and so fast. If you're 14 against 15, it's very, very hard to win a game with that. I think they have to realise, like, sending off, it's not just a decision. It has a bearing on the whole game. It's a bearing for the players, bearing for the management, bearing for supporters going watching the game. And I think they have to be 100% sure. I don't think they were 100% sure there yesterday, to be honest with you. Probably in the Waterford tip match, they weren't. The referee definitely wasn't sure in two out of three. Decent one, yeah, 100%. That was a red. He looked at the player before he hit him.
It was dirty from him.
It was.
That could have been a straight red.
He didn't even flick the hurl either. He went in with two hands on the hurl
and hit him
in the head. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Why would he do that at that stage of the game? It was a bizarre. And you're on a yellow.
Yeah. Yeah,
and people are saying that could have been a red on its own.
That would have been a red.
So he wanted to walk.
I'd have no argument.
And
they
know previous either, because he's only on the pitch. The tip lad is only on the pitch, so he couldn't have got a belt, and couldn't have been retribution. Yeah.
You see an opportunity to hit someone. He took it. But he paid a big price for it. But the Kevin Moran one, the referee number one didn't see it, and the linesman didn't do him any favours whatsoever. He must have told the referee that he hit him, he struck with the hurl. But when you go back and look at the replay, his arms never went back to give him the dig.
Well, they don't have to go back. They can just jab forward.
A jab is not a full-on strike, you know, that kind of way.
Right.
Kevin Moore, or in fairness, Jason Ford, I'd say he got a small win, but he's back up again. I'd be more critical of Jason if he stayed down on the ground. I'd say Kevin just hit him in the sweet spot.
Surprised him,
and he was on the ground, but he got back up again. I don't think that was one, and Cottle Barrett wasn't. It was a yellow card at most, that's all it was.
We'll all agree on the Barrett. The Barrett was a farcical one. The Moran one is the more interesting one, because can we not throw back some of the responsibility on Moran, Michael? Because, like, let's be honest, what's he doing it for?
No, I wouldn't worry, to be honest with you, because that happens all over the pitch. Like, you're getting little tussles and there's nothing in it.
Is that more of a friendly jab?
Absolutely. That's just getting to know each other. Exactly. There's nothing. Like, Ford was stopping the run. He was telling him to get out of the way, and that was it. Like, there was nothing. No malice whatsoever. To me, it's more the yellow cards. They're handing yellow cards for things that they shouldn't. There should be a warning or two before yellow. It seems that refs are very quick to take out the yellow card, and once you do, it's very easy to get a second yellow for the rest of the game if they're handing it that early in a match, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, for Carl Barrett, the umpire was 8 yards on the pitch. I don't know how he called it when there was linesmen, and the closer umpires never twigged it. So that was very unusual.
Yeah.
And just five sending offs yesterday. Like, in one Sunday, there was five reds. It's like, you never hear of it. Like, all the belts that were given 10 years ago, and there was hardly any reds spoken of. And now, all of a sudden, the game is at its cleanest, Willie, and there's the most cards given.
Yeah.
There's hurling. It's the quickest as well.
Like, yeah, it's at the quickest as well. It has ever been. You know what I mean? So there's no place for dirtiness anymore.
Absolutely not.
The idea with hurling people is that if it's not a dirty stroke, and you know what a dirty stroke is, you're all in agreement that Gleeson's was pretty dirty. Yeah. You know the chop down is pretty dirty. At least I know that.
Yeah.
But they seem to be given reds for ones that are not dirty strokes. And like you said, they are impacting the games because 14 of 15. Should they be saying, hold off on sending someone off unless it's a clear and obvious dirty stroke? Yeah. But that's what you want.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like the way the refs are going refereeing it.
Completely different. But you know the reaction of the players. Gleeson knew he was going to get a red. He knew he was shooting against it. Didn't argue whatsoever. Yeah. Cottle Barrett turned round to the linesman and said, what did I get sent off? Same with Kevin Moran. you know when you do a dirty stroke when you deserve a red. Every player knows that themselves. You know by the player's reaction. When they react, they said, what was that for? I just can't believe ref gave me a red card. You know the referees are getting it wrong.
Yeah.
So look, the onus going back on the referees again now, and look, we're giving out about them, but they're not helping themselves at all. They're backing themselves into awkward decisions. But again, they're going towards kind of ruining the game now at the moment, to be honest with you, because just plead with them just to sit down and think about a red card is a big, big decision on the impact of the whole game. So just kind of don't be trigger happy now, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just
and think about the slap of the hurl as well. Like if two hurls clash, like for the Carl Barrett one, everyone heard the slap of a hurl around the pitch and we knew it wasn't on the ball because you could easily hear it from watching the telly. So it sounded like an awful belt, but whatever way the two of them collided, there was nothing in it, Willie. But it sounded awful, and then one of the lads on the ground, so straight away they're thinking that someone's
the top Barrett had a hurl.
Someone's hurt.
There was nothing in that.
And the game was destroyed then, Willie.
He gave him a little petulant elbow on the way past. And that was it. But this is the thing. Like, I'm going to throw it back and just play devil's advocate here and say, right, now that players know what referees are like, are the whole traditional Kevin Moran, get out of my way, are players going to have to say, here, I'm just going to stop doing that? And, you know, not put yourself in that position. Or Austin Gleeson, the first yellow, a little flick on the knee, was nothing really in it. The ref, whoever was running through with the ball, whoever it was anyways, didn't even flinch. It was so playful.
But can
players not say now, or was it John McGrath? Can players not say now, here, I'm just going, that worked before, I'm just not going to do that anymore. And now there'll be no controversy about this.
And I tell you, Kevin Moore, had the ball. And Kevin Moore was trying to get out past Jason Ford to get down, probably into the pocket with Stephen McKeith, because he's looking for because Kevin was flying down that wing.
We have to sidestep him now, because the way
he probably thought he was doing that. Do you know what I mean? He didn't think he was going to get sent off for what he'd done. Do you know what I mean? In his thinking,
but now
he
that
was
he knows,
going with letter of the law. You're
now that he knows, he'll know that that's going to be, see, anything with the hurley like that.
But if a manager told you before that game, Willie, said, look, you can't do that. I said, Jesus, I'm only kind of getting him out of the way to move, to kind of jump away from it and then move out into the space. If the manager told me this before the game, said, look, you can't, I said, what do you mean? I can't touch my whatsoever. Like, you know, it's a contact sport, you know, kind of way. So you have to keep that relevant. Fair enough, Kevin Moore, if he does it again, that's his own fault. The onus on him at the moment. But telling people to go before the game and not be physical in a physical game, it's just madness, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's not the refs, I don't think, Willie, because all the refs are reffing the same way. So it's not one particular ref. It's what they're being told to do. So the organisation has to look at it and say, the games are going to be ruined in the Summer Cup Championship if they keep this up.
Be interesting to see. The theory is that they do it in the league. They have to
change it, because it's not working. And the spectacle of the game was gone completely yesterday, because three men gone from a pitch, just the amount of space that's left on the pitch is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And lad, the game just filtered.
Well, that's the thing.
We're
not even going to talk about that game, because what's the point?
It was brutal.
The sending off ruined it to the point. At least they'll focus on Galway and Cork, which there was one sending off in that. We'll just cover this sending off before we move on. Surely we're agreeing Robbie O'Flynn needed the goal. He got him in a... If he kept holding the hurl to really slingshot him, if he'd let go of the hurl, that wouldn't have been as bad, would it? He got the hurl around his neck and kept hold of it. He could have taken his head off.
Probably had the hurl hell as well, you know what I mean? But in that kind of a circumstance, he looks a lot worse than what he's guaranteed.
He refused to criticise
anyone.
In regarding, he got up and went on and played the game. It looked it looked like the head was going to be took off. But when the forward hurl is over your head, you can actually grab it and bring it back as well. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you make it look a lot worse than what it was. Look, it was a high tackle, and he gave the referee decision to make, you know, and he made the right decision, in fairness, it was very hard, but it wasn't as bad as what it looked like. Tackle like that will always get a big ooh out of the crowd, you know what I mean? But the players always hops up and runs back in position, you know what I mean?
You'd probably do more damage with a strike, but same time, Jesus, it just looked terrible. How did Brian Hogan save Jamie Barron's shot early in the first half and then let Stephen Bennett shot in? It doesn't make any sense.
Hit his hurl on the ground, didn't it?
That was a brilliant save, lads.
It was a great save. And I think it's just he couldn't move. He was on the ground and his arm was stuck and just hit the hurl.
He hit the hurl and went in, but he's hoping he was on the ground, he couldn't get back up again in time. You know, it's just unfortunately now you'll be hoping you're one year full back then now will get you out of jail, but it bounced to the wrong land.
Yeah. Tip actually made a hero out of O'Keefe. Like, he had a great game, Stephen O'Keefe, in goal, but the shot selection was poor, Willie. all from hip to shoulder height, easiest for a goalkeeper. Yeah. Like, that ground was soaking yesterday. Every ball should be an off slip. Yeah.
And was it just the muck that fooled him then for the Bennett one? That was a slippery
I think it was. Yeah, there was nothing in that one, but just. I just thought, like, Tipper normally very cute shooting wise, and I thought that let them down because they could have had 3 or 4 goals yesterday quite easily. Use the ground, use the surface, like, down to goalies hate it. The ball could go absolutely anywhere
on the wet day. So because poor Anthony Nash made a brilliant save from Flynn early, but he got it on the hand. Jesus! And we were talking about the numb hands, lads. Imagine, because he knew nothing about that. It was just hit straight at him.
I know.
And he tried to take the puck out and had to go down on one knee. I was like, oh god! Imagine.
We were playing a freezing cold day in Portlaoise before, and Anthony Daly says to the younger lads, I used to put my hands under a freezing cold tap for 10 minutes before going out and sort you out.
Who said that?
Anthony Daly. So of course the younger lads are in under the tap freezing cold, and I'm looking at these pink hands going, what are you thinking? And you want to see them, the state of them for the first 10 minutes.
What theory did Daly have with that, other than being a magnet?
Exactly, it worked for him. I'm just looking, what are you thinking?
So if you, maybe his theory is, if you get your hands so cold when you go out in the cold, it might warm up.
I wasn't going near it happening, I'll tell you that much.
We were only talking here last week with JJ, or the week before, about your hands going so numb that JJ would have to just hand pass the ball because you'd be doing well to strike on it.
And that's how I warmed up before most cold days, just about 100 hand passes before, just to get the hands warm. It's not easy. Your hands will be fucking freezing, especially with a bad belt in the first few minutes.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. Jason Flynn got a brilliant goal there just after that, though. It was actually brilliant by Concannon, the easiest thing for a fella like him who's not a guaranteed starter was to tap over that ball left-hander, and he went for the juggler, and that could be a message from Shane O'Neill. It's not something you'd associate with Galway, who run up huge points tallies, but maybe not goals.
Yeah, natural kind of corner forward kind of instinct.
Like any corner forward,
When a goal scoring opportunity is on now, and exactly what you said, easy option, take a point, and you have a point in your column there as well at the end of the game. But he's seen an opportunity, and it's a great flick over now. He made the goal for him perfectly,
But he cut inside first.
He kind of jinked around the Cork corner back then as well, and little flick as well. It wasn't an easy flick either, because something like that off the hurl as well, it could be blocked down by the full back, or else he timed it perfectly, and the loop of the ball was perfect into Jason Finn's hand, and great finish as well, to be fair.
Stephen Bennett had a lovely flick as well point. It was Jamie Barron was excellent. We'll talk about him in the last part, but we're seeing loads of skill like that, Michael, and like it is true, and I do accept the point that the hurling people are making, that these are the two coming off the greatest Munster Championship arguably ever seen, the greatest Leinster Championship we've ever seen the following year. Yeah. Brilliant All-Ireland semi-finals. The final the year before, not so much this year with the sending off. And now referees are clamping down and stuff. It's not there.
There's
nobody clamouring about the violence in the game because there isn't any.
It's the cleanest it's ever been, Willie. You're trying to fix a problem that's not there. Yeah. I don't know why they're making up these things. It's like you can't take the physicality out of hurling. People love a good hit as much as they love a score, and it gets the crowd behind you, so you just can't touch it. And there's nothing to touch in the game. And regarding the flicks, like you've seen the brick flick for years, like whenever you're chasing them, you just couldn't get a hook. It's so effective.
Yeah.
I think lads are going to be trying it more and more because lads are finding it harder to shake a fella behind them.
Yeah.
So if you're flicking the ball in front of you, it works and you can't hook it.
Right.
So I think lads are going to be working on that more and more in training.
And Noel McGrath had a lovely little backhanded flick on the ground for one of the Queeley, is that his name? He got 5 from play. I'll talk about him performance at the weekend as well. Young Quirk,
Dylan
Quirk. Lovely little, it was on the ground and it just a little backhand flick up. There's serious skill in the game. And obviously Concannon's goal was brilliant, a brilliant ball by Conor Cooney.
Yeah.
And he looks like he can hurl Concannon. I think we talked about him last year, though, and he didn't really push on.
No. He started the year really well last year and then sort of faded. He's hurling great and he's huge, loads of energy around the place. But again, you've seen Conor Cooney with that pass. That was a great pass.
It opens everything up. We don't see enough of that. Other than Limerick do that a lot.
And I think you're right. That's a new element we're seeing in that Galway team now. And their work rate in the forward line really impressed me. At one stage, Concannon and Niall Bourke chased the Cork lads right across the pitch, won the ball back and got a point. And without Joe Canning there, you didn't really see that from the Galway forwards much. So now, without him, if you're adding him into that forward line, no one's really talking about Galway too much, really. I was really impressed with how they worked the ball in the forward line and the back line yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll talk about them a bit in part two. They've used 31 players throughout the league.
Yeah.
So it's really experimentation stuff. So, they've a home game then against Tip to make the knockout. So I'd say they'd be mad to get into that. Did you see Shane O'Donnell's control?
Over the head.
I just looked at that and I went, that's one of the most underrated pieces of brilliance I've ever seen. Yeah, he didn't see, he couldn't see that ball until it actually came over his
head.
Yeah,
he had a split second to control the ball. To even know where it was going to go. Usually corner forward just going to let it over his head, let it bounce, and then to turn on the bounce. You know what I mean? We had the skill, the composure to control it over his head. It was absolutely phenomenal.
His eyes in the back of his head.
You're only hoping as a cornerback he won't score a goal. You're looking at
it. I was only chatting to Alan Nolan, the Dublin keeper, this morning, and I said, what about that touch? And he said, I was running out to, I thought I was going to go wide, and just to get, he said, I was in shock when he touched it. It was such a great touch, like over his head with under pressure.
I was surprised they didn't highlight that on the league Sunday last night, because I just saw that and went, how the hell did he? Because it was such a long clearance. He was running this way with his back to it. And suddenly then he puts out the hurl and he knows where and there had to be an element of luck to that, lads. That's like literally like Bruce Lee.
He's that
stuff.
Sort of player, though. He's sort of like Keane Lynch. He has these brilliant touches like that you just never expect. I love that. He has that in his locker, you know.
With ball, too. You're not going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, no, fair enough. I was some critical of Shane O'Donnell. That was breathtaking. So Dublin disappointing, Michael. Like, I mean, Matty Kenny was talking last night in the interview after the game, and he said that, oh well, the league wasn't a priority. I'm not quoting him directly, I'm paraphrasing him, saying the league wasn't a huge priority. We wanted to develop our panel and we've done that. I don't believe that for a second.
No, and as he said it, I was going through the panel and I said, like, you're going through fines for the league, and Ronan Hayes has been really good full forward. I think he's a really good find. Apart from that, there's no one else that's going to really start in Championship who he's tried. So I can't see like where he's coming from. No, because like always, ball winning is Dublin's problem. Like, they cannot win primary possession from a puck out. Now, Donald Burke scored 4 yesterday. He's really good. But the half forward line is going to be Danny Sutcliffe, Liam Rush and Keeney.
When's Keeney back?
In the next few weeks. He has a newborn now, so he wants to go back training. He's going back now in the next few weeks.
And Rush only came on after 65
straight away
minutes.
Caught a great ball.
Right.
Went by three lads and handed it off. That's just, the Dublin need ball winners and they haven't got it.
Will Crummy still up there now?
See, Crummy's gone for 2 months. Yeah. With a broken collarbone. So he's going to be back. He's going to be back a week before Championship. So, like, Ronan Hayes gives you that option now. You don't need Rushy up there. So, like, Rushy can come out to the half forward line. You're not losing the ball when you're in the full forward line. Freeze has been Dublin's big problem. Like, last week, Paul Ryan is normally really good free taker, missed 6.
Yeah.
Donald Burke missed 4 yesterday.
Did he?
Oisín O'Rourke hasn't missed, but he was out injured. So, you have to play Oisín O'Rourke. You have to play your best free taker in the full forward line.
Oisín O'Rourke, Hayes, and another.
And Trollier. Like, Trollier's got a goal in every game.
Yeah.
Every game. But, like, yesterday's game, Dublin's forwards got only 3 of them scored.
Shute doesn't make your team there, then. He's not playing well.
He's not a free taker. And I just think, like, Oisín O'Rourke actually has been playing well from play as well as scoring frees. So I think he has to be in there as the free taker. None of your forwards can take frees for Dublin. So.
Right.
There has to be a free taker putting that full forward line. I think Shute has to be the one.
To be fair, like, Keeney and Rush just beef up that forward line a lot.
Now, absolutely. And Sutcliffe has the legs to carry around there as well.
Absolutely, like, and he's good in the air. So that's a ball winning half forward line.
Yeah.
Now you're asking 36-year-old to come in.
But is that forward, that's not the way they puck out, though, is it?
No, they were going short. That stopped.
Right.
Because they were losing the ball in the half back line and full back line. So they went directly yesterday, and the first half they won 10 out of 18 puck outs. Second half, I'm not sure what the stat was, but it's just not good enough. The ball winners aren't there.
Right.
Now, Burke's very good. He'd be unlucky to miss out. So he could fight for
But he's a squad. Yeah, he'll get in 15-20 minutes.
Davey Keogh's been a good find. He's there as well. Like, there is players to come in, but midfield as well is a huge problem. Like, Clare got 5 points from play yesterday from midfield. And Dublin aren't chipping in from scores from the middle. And you need 2 or 3 points every game from midfield from one of them, you know.
So their full back line is settled. Like, they were a great full back line.
Apart from Kenny, Kenny got 3 goals. Solid. No one else gets goals in Dublin. Like,
it's very tight now.
Yeah, they really do struggle. So, like, back line for Dublin isn't a problem. It's midfield up. So you'll have Rushy to come back. You have Keeney to come back. Danny's been in and out with injury.
They need Trollier, though. Injury-free,
exactly. So they've been picking up
main goal scorer, really.
Like, if you have them there, it's a solid enough Dublin team. But Rian McBride has hurled well for Dublin midfield throughout the year. He'll be the one midfielder who's going to start, and they have to find a partner for him. So that's
the half funny. We'll work in Parnell Park, though.
Kilkenny and Parnell Park, they're physical.
There's no point in any teams panicking. Like, I mean,
absolutely not.
Liam Sheedy said it after the game yesterday. It's March the 1st.
And
we've just heard
it. Very reactive every week. Like, you know,
it is. It's hard not to be. And I do find it, well, especially Pat Spillane, the football. Yeah. He almost decides a team's future based on a game in a hurricane.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So, like,
when you're looking forward to that Dublin panel, like, it's a good team.
They will have a good start.
And that's what Crummy mentioned.
What about Paul Crummy? Is he a brother of
Chris's younger brother? Got 3 great points in half back. normally he probably play half forward for his club, but half back he can definitely hurl half back. He's like Chris. I'd play Chris back in the half back line now come championship, because you won't need him up there.
No,
he could play midfield
play midfield, yeah, because he loves getting up the pitch and he's very good under a high ball,
yeah,
so.
And he's a leader too, right?
He's physical, so he'd definitely be an option midfield, would he? So, but he'd only be back a week before, maybe 2 weeks before championship, so depends how much hurling they can get into him before.
Well, that's the thing, and I suppose with the collarbone you can't practice your striking too much, right? So it's probably the worst injury, I suppose a leg injury, you can still keep your upper body loose, and
absolutely
on the wall, you could be on the wall ball, but you can't even do a wall ball so it's a disaster. He'll be back at some stage. So there was a bit of news this morning, the relegation match, so it's Westmeath and Carlow, as we know. They tossed for home advantage and Westmeath won the toss, so they get home advantage. So that's, I think that's next weekend. Just quickly on the Congress, lads. So it was a good day for hurling. The black card didn't come in. We talked about that too much. 82% of delegates voted against it, so they had their heads screwed on. And to be fair, it was a fair old campaign. Everybody did.
Everyone was on the same boat.
Like, you're almost thinking that the game is completely gone if this ever comes in.
Didn't want to go watch a game anymore.
God, no.
I got it.
The Leinster Championship increased to 6 teams. Yeah. That looks like a positive development.
Absolutely. Very good. The year before we spoke about it. It's just made no sense where it was, and you're trying to develop counties and all that kind of stuff, and they're up to level 1 year and then they're back down, and it makes it 2 years come up, and you might have a group of players that are able to compete, but how are they going to compete if they go back down to come back up, and then it's 2 years gone your career before they come back up to compete again, so I think that's positive.
It definitely is. What did you make of Eddie giving up the home advantage to get the dry run in Nolan Park for the championship? See, he's smart enough. We're away to Kilkenny. The Moore Park was playable. I'd say he just went, the footballers played on it yesterday. It's a dead rubber game, really, because we're safe.
Yeah.
We're playing them in the championship. Let's just do our full routine that we'll do that day. Exactly. That makes perfect sense,
100%,
doesn't it?
Yeah. At least you get something out of the game then, that kind of way. You can get your routines, your timings before the game, where you're going to eat, and get the players used to surroundings, really, more than that. That's what it is, good stroke.
Good stroke.
Even pays off during the summer.
We're coming for you. But I was saying,
Cody's worried by his
eyes. I was saying last Thursday, bring him to Moor Park, pump more water onto him. That might suit us.
Lock the gates.
So the sideline was defeated as well. The 2 points. I was surprised this was defeated as strongly. 77% of delegates voted against 2%. It was Kilkenny delegate Conor Deneef. Not great at that. I should have probably proofread that. He said it's a great skill, but it's one that's executed by a player completely unchallenged, so we don't think it should be worth 2 points. Jesus Christ. Right, so as long as you're not getting
crowd
flamed,
you need to be so, four lads hanging out with you before you get 2 points.
Then I'm thinking, who is your sideline specialist? Do you not have one at the moment? Does TJ stick over sideline?
TJ's brilliant.
Right, okay, well then, so I'm not coming up with that theory. Were you surprised that it was that strong against? Because I would be probably in favour in that. Now, I suppose a game being won, you're a point up and a sideline is scored for two to beat you.
There'd probably be more. The excitement, though, you'd have coming up to it. It's like a long range free, really, more than that. And is he going to score? Is it not? Because it's no guarantee you will score. You'll get probably 80% of the time you might get the distance, all right, but you get the accuracy as well. It's vital. But I suppose what they're afraid of, really, everyone. Going for shots all the time and the ball is dead
too much
time. And then there's a lot to be said for a little short. We won a league final one day because TJ hit Richie Hogan and back to TJ and he slapped it over the bar. A bit of skill like that probably would take away from the game then, because he'll end up going for the 2 points rather than play the ball into the
I completely agree with you. That's true. I didn't really think of that. So say you have a sideline on the halfway line and Joe Canning's in corner forward or full forward line. Yeah. Joe, come on. There's a big routine that
it
goes over, it's a great score, but it's very deflating for a team of supporters if it goes wide.
And the game has been slowed down and that's what nobody wants. Everyone wants it to flow, so exactly, so that makes sense why 77%. And the final one, lads, that was defeated, which will suit the two of you down to the absolute ground, is club games are not going to be 70 minutes, they're going to stick at 60.
You're dead right there.
Any chance to bring you back to 50, you know?
Well, the junior I'm playing now, first half will do me, right? So imagine 70 minutes of junior
level.
Yeah,
that'd be tough. That's the right
call. You'd be gone for a week.
Drinking ban on the junior team.
Okay, we'll come back in part two and we'll talk about Galway Cork.
And the game takes on, can very, very often take on a life of its own.
what's tactics. I mean, you've got to make decisions and you've got to decide what you're going to do, and at the end of the day, you hand it over to the players and the players play, you know. The game was fast, was furious, it had everything really, you know, and you don't have too much influence on what's happening. What happened last year, it goes out the window, or the year before, or whenever it was. Tipperary, don't go away. The air is there. And the game takes on, can very, very often into a life of its own.
So Kieran Kingston was interviewed after the game, lads, and he says, when you go down to 14 men, it's always challenging. The wind will never win or lose it for you, or lose the game for you. They closed it out that bit better. We struggled in the last 10 minutes. We just seemed to totally run out of legs. Was it the running out of legs? Was it the sending off? Was it the Cork lacking bottle? Was, you know, all these things are said about Cork. What do you put it down to, JJ?
I'd say, look, a bit of both, or a bit of every single one of them. Yeah, it's very, very hard when you go down to 14 to counteract their, especially Galway, they use the ball so well as well. Like, you know, the kind of way, and it's tricky now. You need kind of individuals standing up really and going above and beyond on the team to get you over the line, you know. But look, they had a few individual players, but as a team, I think you're talking about your defensive unit. I think they defend individually rather than defend as a unit as well. Yeah. Like, if their man is bet, there's no one covering. See Bill Cooper there in the second half, he got turned inside out. You're hoping your full-back or your centre-back is cutting across
there.
That
was there. for Concannon's goal.
Yeah, because
Jackie showed that on League Sunday last night. Yeah. And I was thinking, right, okay, that's fine. But there was actually a covering. There was a spare defender who only rushed out at the very last minute. Yeah. Why did he not spot that danger earlier and double up on him?
Yeah, maybe he's been overcautious.
Yeah,
maybe
it's that thing of, I don't want my forwards, my man scoring, you know, and you can't have that.
But he looked like he was a spare man. Like, I know, I think Jackie was making the point that you should leave your man a good defender if he's not a threat and go across and help. But this fella looked like he was like in a sweeping position and hadn't come out to snuff the danger. Yeah.
But that's kind of, before the game, the six backs should get together. If I go, you cover my man, and then the cornerback cover the fullback, halfback covers the cornerback. We should all know what we're doing within that situation. If that arises, then we know exactly. I go, I know my man's covering, and go again. That needs to be kind of communicated in addressing before you go out in the field. Whatever six backs it is, I don't care if it's your first day or your 100th day out there, it doesn't make a difference. If you don't communicate as a back, you need your six, your other five backs working with you. If you move, you need someone pulling covering in your man there as well. It's not my man, my position. Yeah. My man won't score. It's grand. That look great in the paper tomorrow. It can't be like that. If it's like that, then there's no communication or no team spirit within that back group. And just see with Cork, you're allowed hurl against Cork all the time. Reasonably, you're allowed hurl against Cork is that to get loose ball, but to get loose ball because if we get past one defender, you have a shot at the goal. It's always high scoring games within them. You see them during the summer as well. They're always high scoring because any team that comes against them, the forward knows, I beat my man one on one, I'll get a score. Do you know what I mean? It's if you go against Kilkenny, for argument's sake, or Tipperary or anything like that, or Limerick, for argument's sake, at this stage, you go past one, Limerick lads in their face straight away, Tip lads in their face straight away. Even if they don't get near you, they're 5 yards, they're coming to attack it. So that might put your eye off and you might hit the ball wide. Against Cork, you just beat one player, you have a shot at goal, point, come back out again. You know, that's what they have to stop and coming to the championship. It's not really being rectified at the moment, you know.
We talk sometimes in Gaelic football, is at what point do you leave your man to help somebody else? Do you know if it is all paired off? And like the good defenders know how to do it. Corks definitely don't seem to know how to do it. But like, I mean, if that's Cooper in the right half back position, Tim O'Matney should be close enough if he's holding the centre. That would be his job normally. Do you know, it's the lad beside you that's supposed to help you out. Now, it can't be the other wing back coming across to help you out.
But I think Bill Cooper actually, I don't mean to pick on Bill Cooper, he got caught out yesterday as well. Adrian Toohey got a ball in the first half with acres of space in the middle of the pitch. And it wasn't a surprise ball, it was a ball worked up by Galway. I think he was caught in 2 minds looking after his full back line and going out the pitch chasing his man. In that situation, you have to go with your man. You have to chase him out the pitch and leave that space.
Yeah.
Jerry Cunningham's involved at Cork, and his mantra with us was very much so, your man, your responsibility, wherever he goes, you go. And it's very hard as a unit to defend that, because forwards now, they just bunt, they make so much space for each other.
But that's so... You can't look after each other, I think, you know, that's what you might tell under-12s, just to get them marking their men tighter.
Yeah. We struggled with it as well, to be honest with you.
But decoy runs can ruin that.
Absolutely. Mm. And if one defender gets turned, there's 30-yard space of running before anyone gets to them, you know, because everyone's so spread out. So it opens up a defence completely. So you could see Cork struggled with it big time yesterday, and they have throughout the year.
It's interesting that that's his motto, because that seems so outdated to me, because even from puckouts, sure, you can dictate complete great puckout strategies based on the fact that you know your decoy runs are going to be followed and create space.
You have to do both, really. You have to man mark at particular times, but you have to hold your position at different times as well. And as a good defender will know when to do which. You know, that kind of way. You can't just say, you go to your man 100% of the time. It can't be, because
that's just nonsense.
You're letting someone else go drive, and you can't hold your position every time the ball comes down as well. So you have to know when to go and know when to stay. Simple as that, you know. And unfortunately, at the moment, they don't seem to be kind of grasping the situation. They're going one-on-one, and that's great if it works out, but it take one ball for you to cut in the full back line, and then it's a goal straight away, you know, that kind of way. So it's tricky. It's just, especially, you feel against Cork, it's against the wind, Galway worked that goal. So there's no need for Cork half back line to be up the field, because if Galway has pucked the ball down the field, it's going to hold up in the wind anyway. They're going to score from 40 yards in. So there's no point in the half back line saying 45 yards out from the goal. They should be back under 30 yards in front of their goal. So that's where the score near is going to be. But they weren't there to plug the holes, you see. And that's where it is. There's too much holes in the Cork defence at the moment, you know.
There definitely is. And, like, I mean, look at this. So they were beaten yesterday on March the 1st. They're not out in the Championship until May the 10th. That's a 10-week gap.
Yeah.
10 weeks.
Yeah.
And he won't have him for April. And he doesn't know his team, does he? Well, he doesn't know his half-back line.
No.
He's completely up for grabs. Yeah. And his half-forward line seems to be completely up in the air as well.
But, like, for the likes of Bill Cooper now, that's where an extra game or two, the world difference would make. Dublin are in the same boat now. What do you do for them 10 weeks? Like, you're going to have 4 weeks of hard training, slogging, fitness work. Then you're released to clubs. And then you're back for 2 weeks before championship. Mm. It's really not an ideal situation without competitive hurling.
You're playing good teams at this time of year.
Exactly.
In later on in the league. And when it comes out of the league basis of the league, it gets competitive. You know what I mean? You're in a quarter final, semi final. You want to go on and win it then. And you're playing a higher level of team. And people are a lot fitter there. You're marking as well. Have a last 2 or 3 months of pure hardship underneath their belt. And they're coming into a bit of hurling now as well. So, it's tricky now. It's hard to negotiate that for a management team, really, as well.
Yeah,
like, you know.
But, like, I mean, you've got the Walsh Cup in Leinster, you've the Munster League, whatever. That's the time for all this Bill Cooper wing-back, Bill Cooper centre-back, Tim O'Matney wing-back, Tim O'Matney centre-back, fucking Sean O'Leary Hayes wing-back, cornerback. Right, you get into the league then, first two games, grand, maybe try another one. Surely for the last three games, Ed, you're settling on your Leinster Championship team.
Absolutely.
But that was the way it always used to be. Or is it gone so experimental now that maybe they're hoping to make the knockout and then decide on the team in those games?
We're going to see the Championship teams now for all the teams left for quarterfinal, semi-final.
Yeah, close
enough. And that gets closer to Championship level playing as well, you know. So Dublin and Cork are going to miss out on this now, the Championship level hurling before Championship.
It's a big loss.
Big loss for both teams. And they're the two teams that probably need it more than any of the others.
Yeah.
Because the other teams have more established teams than Dublin and Cork at the moment, so... Like, I would have been all out. Like, I heard, like, unlike Matty Kenny, I would have been all out to get as far as you can to try.
I don't believe Matty Kenny.
Not a minute.
You have
to
say,
I'd be all out to get as far as you can and even get that winning mentality under your belt, which they're struggling. Both teams are struggling for at the moment.
Yeah.
So, like, mental wise and physical wise, it's a bad draw for the two of them.
Well, that's it. And then you have young Downey, fullback. We said, geez, he looks like a great finder. And then he's out wing back and he's back centre back.
He was injured there yesterday, wasn't he?
I don't know, he wasn't there yesterday, but there you go. Like, where do these lads play?
Yeah.
Outside of Colm Spillane, who you look at, will have a corner tied up.
Yeah. Will they stick with Mark Cole in midfield? Wing back as well. He's just too much of a hurler back.
Here's the goal. They'll probably play a challenge match and they'll try that out. It'll work in a challenge match. Mm. You know, well, I wouldn't say try Coleman because we know how good he is. But what they could do is they could, instead of deciding a team on competitive games, they'll end up deciding their team on challenge games, which are a complete joke.
Yeah. So someone could go back to last year's team. You know, that's how it could very easily happen.
So it's definitely a big land for them. And they were in that game, lads. They went ahead after 50 minutes with the wind and they were only a point behind after 64 minutes with the wind. That's not good enough, really, is it?
Absolutely not. And you don't want to come Championship bully and have questions in players' heads. Like, Cork are going to arrive at the Championship now in the tent and say, geez, I haven't played here all year. You're going to have certain players saying, I haven't really played here much. Or, you know, and that's the last thing you want. You want to have fully prepped players going into the Championship. It's difficult enough as it is. And that's going to happen in these panels, that lads are going to be playing in positions where they've probably played two or three games.
Yeah.
Which is
big plus. The only big plus now is Shane Kingston full forward for Cork. He's been very, very good now. He brought the farm on from UCC there as well, and he's a threat all the time. He kind of gets and he runs at defenders, which is a nightmare for a full back.
But you say he's flying at a champion. He's a championship pace.
Yeah, pace at the moment. Yeah,
Sigurdsson. Sorry, Les, I'll wash him out if it's given.
Yeah, but he's taking his chance though. You know, kind of whereas he was on and off, and now whereas he's probably ahead of the pecking order of Conor Lehane at the moment. You know, whereas at the start of the year we said Conor Lehane would have been on before him, but judging how far now Shane Kingston is racking up a couple of scores, and he's winning frees as well, and he's been very, very direct and winning the ball himself, so he's a big plus now for Cork now.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. And like, I mean, the thing just about the defending, like, I mean, JJ, when you were on the Kilkenny team, one of your defenders might have changed every year, but the rest of, how can you get an understanding and get to know, like, for example, you would know when Brian Hogan was going to come across and cover, you know, whoever was playing wing back. Like, if it keeps changing, they can't have those chats before the game constantly. No. And know, I know what you don't like, and I'm going to come across and help you in that regard. If it keeps changing and everyone's in different positions, actually, and you don't know it. Tommy Walsh obviously won wing back. So you were until you went full back. Well, that maybe used to change, was it?
Yeah, well, again, which you're kind of getting used to lads as well, like, you know, and they're getting used to you too. And you have made a confidence when you do actually go attack the ball with someone who will cover you. And that comes with playing games together, really, more than that.
And talking to each other a lot.
Myself, Jackie and Paul Murphy in full back line, used to always talk for maybe 10 minutes before the game. To say, right, if I do this scenario, you cover me here. And we all knew exactly before we went out in the field what was going to happen if that scenario happened.
So if Paul Murphy's man beats him, you go to him and Jackie goes to your man.
Exactly.
And then there's a spare man
then
free.
Then we have the left half back coming back.
We'll drop down onto
man.
That.
You know what I mean?
So and we, you know, we that's,
made,
that's
made,
it.
We made the wing back aware of it. This is your job to get back in and cover Jackie's man.
Right.
Because Jackie man's going to cover the full forward.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to go meet the man coming through. That was it. Vice versa, on the other side, if Jackie's man would bet, we're coming over and Tommy is coming back to cover Paul Murphy's
right.
man.
That very, seems very so simple, doesn't
very
it?
Simple. Like, everyone knows the role.
Yeah.
And if you keep it simple, that you don't need to complicate these things at all. It's just covering back. Even just making that run, you might not even have to make that tackle. But if he knows, the attacker knows the defender's coming behind him, he'll rush the shot, or else he won't get the clean strike in it.
Yeah.
So make sure and brush your arts to get back. Really.
Yeah, that's or he'll take doing. The point rather than go for the goal. Yeah.
Even a full back, Willie, if we're in the half back line and your full back, the corner back behind you, you want to know if he breaks it, if he catches it, like what way the ball he's going to come out, and like if he's going to break it, you're going to be under that break all the time. If he's good with his hand, you'll know you don't have to be there, he'll be able to pop it out to you.
Right.
So you know your movement before it even happens. And if you're playing with a fella that's behind you, that's never played behind you before, it's very different. You know, it really is very, very different. You don't know what way he attacks the ball. Is he good at coming out with his hand, or is his touch going to be off?
Yeah.
Is he a good striker? You just don't, you have to know all these things, especially to our championship. You can work them out in the league. So I just think it's a huge ask for players to go out there not knowing each other fully.
It's hard for a player to make their name as well when there's 10 or 11 different changes on the team. Like if you had 13 or 12 or 13 year starters, you give two or three lads a start in that particular team, then they're looking around, right, they're all regulars here now, if I play well here now I'm going to get a chance, and they have a bit of experience in covering you as well if you do make a mistake, you know, that kind of way. So it's huge for a manager to know their top 11 or 12 players anyway, you know,
surely,
what I mean, and give the rest of them a chance with that 10 or 11 players.
Surely Dermot O'Sullivan, who played in that great Cork team that you would have played against, surely Dermot O'Sullivan would have done all that stuff he did on your forwards. Like, I mean, surely he's trying to coach that defence to be smarter and to cover for each other and to be better instinctive defenders. You know, it is a...
Yeah, and again, we're second guessing what's going on either. We don't know.
Look, that's
you know,
all that we can do here.
That's exactly what we're doing. But look, at the moment, if he is saying it, they don't seem to be going out and doing it and practicing the game. So all we're doing is judging on what we've seen every Sunday. And at the moment, they're wicked open now, and they're going one-on-one at the moment. Now, maybe that might change come championship now. They might go a 6-on-6 rather than a one-on-one. But a defensive unit, if I was playing in any defensive unit, I'd rather go 6-on-6 rather than one-on-one any day of the week.
Hurl your positions for until you
as
have
this
to mark.
Whole group
of
marking six.
I'll get you.
If I'm marking 14, if he goes out wing forward, right, someone else pick him up, I'll pick whoever comes in.
You're all in it together rather
exactly,
than.
Yeah.
What do you think of, what did you make of Galway then, lads, just to mention them? Obviously, Joe wasn't playing. They played 31 players. You mentioned Shane Kingston played very well, but Gerard McInerney played pretty well as well. So, like, I mean, how did you think he did a fullback marking a fella like Kingston? Because that's obviously the big worry you'd have for someone like Gerard McInerney. Is marking one of these really fast, nippy forwards.
I thought he did well. He actually got turned one time out on the wing. Now, he gave a free away in the end, but he caught him. Like, he got back and caught him, just missed the ball and caught Kingston. Yeah. It was a free, but he showed
he
a lot of
hands
pace
as well. Yeah, he did. Yeah, tackle him.
He showed a lot of pace right. to get back. Hands. So he has pace to pace to burn.
Big stride, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Aina Murphy is really good.
But he had a reputation for not having pace.
Yeah, I know, but he caught Kingston. Kingston's a born lad. So, like, Kingston
so is it just because you're a big man, people say you're not fast? Yeah. Is that an element of that to it?
Or maybe it's you're slow over that 1 or 2 yards, but once
you catch up.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you get that 5 or 6 yards going, then you show a bit of pace then. Aina Murphy from Puckouts, not Galway, Scahill has been going Route 1 for the last few years. Hasn't really been working. He was finding men out in the wing. I'd be finding Park Manion any chance I get because he's so good with the ball. Like, they spoke about his brother yesterday, but he gives the ball to him all the time.
Yeah,
he finds him so much. Yeah. Like, gives him about 5 or 6 balls a game. And if he's getting on the ball, if you're a half-order midfielder and you create space, you know you're going to get it. And so many attacks started from Park Manion yesterday. So, like, I think the goalkeeping and his puckouts is huge for Galway because they worked the ball out so well yesterday. And even for the first goal, they got a start with Park Manion to his brother, Cole, and then up the pitch and to Concannon and then a finish. So, so many attacks start from there. So I think they haven't got the really good ball winners either in the half-hour line. I'd be trying to find men more and more with Galway, and that's what they're obviously working on.
Well, they have to now. They've lost those ball winners, right? So, like, I mean, that's a necessity for them now. Conor Cooney came back into a bit of form yesterday. Mm. Like, I mean, he was probably struggling. David Burke got back on the field as well, JJ. So
a lot of pluses now for Galway.
A lot of pluses,
going in the right time of the year too. Big game now next weekend against Tip.
That'll be close to it'll be 80-85%, whereas I'm saying a lot of these league games are 70%. It is knockout,
So it'll be interesting to see now what kind of performance. You can't really judge them, like, they're kind of coming under the radar all along regarding probably amount of changes after making, but again, the management have to look at every player and giving everyone a chance too. So next Sunday we'll tell a lot now against Tipperary, see what kind of will Joe be back or not. But I'd like to see the Galway team without Joe for example next weekend to see if they
He's not back for next weekend. I was reading that he's a calf injury. So
I could even make this Galway team too. You know the kind of way that you have to stand up now, and like to Jason Flynn getting the chances. And Jason Flynn now has been around just good for years now, 4 or 5 years. You know, he has to make. He hasn't been consistently starting on this Galway team, so he has to come a time now. Either you have to make it or else just forget about one or the other. You're not going to win. So it could be a big year for Jason Flynn.
The thing with Jason Flynn is he's an unbelievable talent, but he blows so hot and cold. You can't count on Jason Flynn, can you? Or maybe he hasn't gotten... Maybe under Micheál Donoghue, the minute he didn't play well, he was taken off. And maybe that got into his head as well, because that can affect confidence.
Absolutely.
The minute you see someone warming up, you think it's you. And that's no way to be in any game. Maybe he needs security, because he's potential to be brilliant, lads, in my untrained opinion.
It's exactly like you say, Willie. If he gets on a ball quick in a game and scores a point, you'd say he'd score 5 today.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't see him for the first 10 minutes, you're saying it's going to be the fishing rod. And I'd say that's in his head. If he misses a ball straight away or he doesn't score a score he should, that he's going to be taken off. And he's a huge confidence player. Like, so if he gets a run of games now with Joe missing, and he got a great goal the other day, and he could have got 2, it could do him the world of good. And as I say, like, when you're marking him, he has all the attributes.
Yeah.
He has pace, he can finish, he's a good hand.
He's tall as well.
Yeah, and he's very tall. So, like, there's no reason why he shouldn't be cleaning up, but it's definitely a confidence issue, Willie, because if he does score early, he could be man of the match.
Yeah,
you know,
he's very talented.
But if you're marking him, you're saying the opposite. Like, I'm not going to let him get near a ball. Like, just keep breaking it away.
He looks like a fella that if you sold it into him, he might say, that's not for me today, lads. You put carton on him there.
So
what about Adrian Toohey? He's an angel. He never pull a stroke.
Never.
What about Adrian Toohey? Is he playing up in the forwards, lads, as one of these kind of combative kind of players to set the tone? Like, he's cornerback, and I suppose Johnny Cohen has to come back into that as well.
Yeah, no, he has all the attributes. He's very, very good in. He's so quick as well, like, you know, and he's very, very comfortable on the ball too. Even as a cornerback, you see him when he's out attacking the ball. He always goes on with the ball. He soars. He doesn't get rid of it straight away. Yeah. He doesn't panic on the ball. So he is able to hurl, and to be fair to him, you know, he got a great score there yesterday again now. So he does a lot of work there, I suppose. Yeah. And his legs as well. Legs is a big thing at the moment. You see any of the games now, you have to be quick and you have to be fast and you have to have a big engine now to survive out in the hurling field at the moment, you know, that kind of way. So he has that in abundance at the moment, you know.
So they are still a work in progress, Galway. We'll probably see they're closer to the team. Like I said about Cork, he really, next week, Galway could potentially be their last game.
Yeah. Mm.
he has to play the team that he's probably looking at. Do you know, and we'll get a good idea of what he's thinking.
Yeah, minus Joe, you're going to have
minus Joe,
the starting team for Galway, more than likely, you know. And
yeah.
Like, they had Aidan Hart starting on the wing yesterday, and he switched before the start of the game back to midfield. I would have been surprised if he started half forward. Mm. And Adrian Toohey did very well. He's sort of like a Bill Cooper-esque player, just throwing himself around up there and causing trouble and creating space for their forwards. And the forwards will love that, you know. But it's a good Galway side. It's a good Galway side, Woolley. So, like, placing that forward line are going to be hard. It's, if you're cutting one lad out for Joe Canning, it's very hard to see who it's going to be, you know, like, because everyone's putting their hand up and they played well yesterday.
Isn't it great that after this week we can actually look at a hurling match and go, this is what they might be doing this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I found the last five rounds very frustrating. Yeah. There's so much chopping and changing. Yeah. It's hard to analyse a game too much. You can talk about teams and what they're trying to do, but you can't actually analyse a game because you think, Asher, you'd be only talking nonsense. You know, they're making...
So the bonus for the win of the game the last few wins, they're just trying certain things and getting certain things out of the game, whereas now, come knockout now, obviously next weekend on now, it's going to be knockout from now on. So, yeah, there's something to play for, and a little personal pride there for each individual player as well as coming into play there as well, because you can see, anytime quarterfinal stage or semi-final stage, you see lads in the dressing room broken up a small bit more too, you know.
Yeah, and even as players, you'd be saying to yourselves, lads, let's make sure we have games to play next week rather than being...
Honestly, they ran
around for 3 weeks. Like, if we're going on for another 2 or 3 weeks, that's 2 or 3 weeks of good training, hooking the ball around and then playing matches rather than... getting ran around the field for 3 weeks solid, like, you know, honestly,
10
like
desperate weeks of boredom, like, cause that's a long stint.
That should be a huge incentive for players, more than anything else for me.
Like, I mean, the way you look at it as well, wouldn't it make more sense with the league to move it on a bit up? Like, for example, the team that knocks out misses out in 3 weeks. Would it not be better just let the top two teams play in a final and be done, you know, and save weeks, and then one team's not losing out so much because they go out early? 10 weeks is desperate stuff altogether, lads. Yeah. It's nearly like the start of a season, end of a season.
Yeah.
They're going to start pre-season, Corker. Yeah.
And the break inside it too, like with the clubs, that's the big thing where
you don't have them.
Imagine don't have look over their players, they know what they're doing, they have to trust them when they go back to the clubs, and will they get injured playing club games and all that kind of stuff too, you know. So it's a tricky time for management, but as I said, once games are fixed week in, week out, at least you know you have them there as well, like, you know, and you know that you could be playing next week. There's a carrot in front of the team every time they play. They could play in the weekend after again, you know, in the quarterfinal, semi-final and the final.
Yeah, exactly. Here, come here, just on the Tipperary Waterford game, because we don't want to talk too much about it. Like Liam Sheedy said, it's March the 1st. There's loads of hurling and training to be done in the meantime on a lot different surface. So, like, it's true. Like, I mean, there's nothing you can read in. Waterford went down to bloody 13 players and then Tip lost a player. What do you make of Desi Hutchinson, lad?
Yeah.
Because he was sensational for Ballygunner. Brilliant. Marking cornerbacks. And we know there is a big step up. How is he handling himself? Like, I mean, he was underwhelming in the first couple of games, then lost his place and came back this week. What, like, his game is all about movement and running across and over and back the line. Is it, like, is it winter hurling maybe doesn't suit him that much?
Yeah, you seen flashes from yesterday that really impressed me, Woolley. Like, he's pace, loads of pace.
Yeah.
He's flying around everywhere in the pitch, and you want that in abundance, that energy around your forward line. Lacked a bit of composure at times, you know, he's so fast at coming onto the ball and everything's at 100 miles an hour. If he learns to just control that a small bit, I think he'd be a serious player for Waterford.
Yeah.
Because he has the ability to win the ball, which is the hardest thing in intercounty hurling. He can come out and get a ball. It's just his use then. If he regains that bit of composure at intercounty, because you haven't got the time and space that you normally have at club or colleges.
Mm. Yeah.
If he just gets that and learns how to use it properly, he'd be a serious hurler, because he has the energy to get around and win ball. So he's the type of player to get on 10 balls. You need him scoring 3 scores from it rather than getting on 10 balls and not using it properly.
Yeah.
You know, but if he learns to do it, he'd be a huge asset for Waterford.
But does he need more support when
he
gets it?
I think more time is all, to be honest with you. Sure, he didn't hurt for a few years there too. You know, you come back into it, and I know you said the world of late now with club hurling. Well, he's playing on a dominant team in Waterford.
Yeah, you're getting a constant supply.
A lot of supply of the ball in there, whereas now he's probably getting marked a lot more tighter. But you come in, I suppose, when the ground hardens up, he'll get quicker, the ball will get quicker, so it'll play into his advantage a lot now. But a good option now to Waterford to have. But to have legs in that far lane, Fagan is flying around the place. Mikey Carney is flying.
Fagan, isn't he?
Hogan is flying.
But Carney, do your head in, lads. He wastes a terrible amount of ball.
He gets on and around the ball.
He does. He's
phenomenal now, fairness him, you know. But what I liked about him yesterday, now down to 13, Kevin Moore was sent off, Austin Gleeson, you could very easily excuse them to drop the head, but they worked very, very hard in that game yesterday now, and they should have won it. There were 3 long-range frees there as well that drove wide, and a couple from play that drove wide there as well. They should have won that game yesterday now, to be honest, looking back on it.
Yeah.
I'd say Liam Cal come away from it and said, Conor Punty was very, very good full back. A lot of lads got.
He did a great hit on Callan, didn't he?
Oh,
timed that lovely,
brilliant.
Jamie Barron was brilliant midfield. Yeah. Gleeson done well when you back centre back there as well. Parky Manning done okay, and the lads worked very, very hard. Up front now, the five, they were probably four against six there for Hoyle as well. So they were absolutely, it worked very, very hard and didn't drop the head now. So I'd say Liam Kelly would be happy enough coming.
I'd get Mahoney and Barron to just hover around with Kearney when he gets the ball, because they'll finish it. He gets on so much ball. I'm just saying, lads, used to. The second he gets that ball, give him an option, and you give it to him. You give it to one of them because they'll finish it.
No, he's industrious. I don't want to be too hard on him.
He gave a few great balls to Barron yesterday, just coming past him on the shoulder. Much trouble.
Maybe his shooting is poor. I think
that's just that little bit of composure again. Willie went on the ball. The shooting's not great, so I'd have him on my team all day long, but just have players who can shoot around them.
Running off shoulder
all the time.
That's the thing. Fagan looks like a good player. Was he a transfer from Meath? Somebody said to me. I'm not too sure. But I'll have to confirm that. But, like, I mean, the whole thing is, you wonder about Waterford. Are they going at 90% and Tip going at 70? You know what I mean? Because last year they made the league final. We don't know. But on the face of it, it does look like they're working hard for each other.
Waterford need to go at that pace now.
Always.
They have to go at that pace. You know, Bennett was unbelievable yesterday. He was all over the field. Now, he was a handful. He took on three or four Tip forwards or backs in the first half and just split straight through him. They had to pull him down near the end. He's going to be a handful. He came out the field, did he? Is he better out the field than in there? He worked very, very hard now as well, in fairness to me. He's down in the full back thing, picking up ball, and he's in the half-forward and pick up the ball. I'd say it was a case of he had to, because they were down to 13 men. Yeah. He had to come out the field.
But he's a boomer of a shot. Why waste that in a phenomenal slap of a ball?
He's a ball winner, though, Willie. He's not great at catching the ball. But just, you don't have to be great at catching the ball. He's so good even just coming in, getting it in front of him. And once he has it in front of him, he's so good at coming onto it. I wouldn't really want him working his socks off way out the pitch, because you need him scoring inside, and sometimes when you're working so hard out there, you haven't got the energy or the fitness levels to do both.
What have you said to Bennett? You just follow Mikey Kearney.
Everyone following Mikey Kearney.
play challenge matches in training where you tie a rope around Bennett and Kearney and you follow him, right?
And Mikey, don't shoot.
We could be onto something here.
Mikey Kearney's going to be cursed.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll come back with performance of the weekend.
We have a farm back home, so we have a big farm back home, and we have cattle and sheep, and we have a few donkeys as well. So we had a couple of filly donkeys, so I brought them down, and so we did actually sold them to I think we had four donkeys on the day, and we sold them to a man from Wexford. So we did. So there's the piebald donkey still there, and there's the traditional donkey, and there's the Spanish donkey, and then there's the
Spanish donkey.
You see them on the beaches, never. And so you can actually one time the donkey was useless, right? But now some people have started to get back into them, because you can use them for headage, and it's used towards your bonuses, your grants. A donkey in Eden, and a donkey in Eden Palace.
Performance of the weekend. We're going to start with Owen Cody, who scored 1-8 against Laois. He got man of the match on local radio. He got his goal from a penalty. He got 6 frees, 2 from play. Centre half forward, which was interesting. And captain for the day, also interesting. It was just Mullen wing back, who he trumped obviously for captaincy. Yeah. So I don't know what kind of thought went into that. But that's interesting. And he could be the kind of X factor that now that Adrian Mullen is gone, that they could need Owen Cody now.
Yeah, it could.
Interesting to see him play centre forward, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's kind of more like corner forward for Ballyhale there, Will. But again, he could do the same impact that Adrian Mullen had on Kilkenny last year. You know, he's a big kind of big young chap as well, and he's well able to win his own ball, which is a big, that's what Cody loves. You know, he's high ball in. He got a point against Clare as well, and a high ball came in, he won it and slapped it over the bar. So no, he's plenty of hurling. I think I'd like to see him out there now as well, get a bit of confidence going there as well, and he's out around the mix of it too. So young guy as well, and he's fit, and he's after winning everything underage over the last couple everything with Ballyhale over the last couple of years, so his confidence will be through the roof there as well. Like, you know, even it's a great little touch for him to captain Kilkenny as well, like, you know what I mean. And then he responded too. You can show some people now kind of shrink under that kind of small bit of pressure there as well. First game out, starting Michael Kenny, then your captain, but then he goes off and man of the match, you know. So yeah, bright prospect now with Ballyhale and hopefully Kilkenny as well.
Yeah, so that's the thing, like obviously Adrian Mullen's gone, Michael, and like would it be madness to put TJ out in the wing? He can play there.
It wouldn't be madness at all because he's so good at winning the ball. Like he'd like to isolate himself out there, just let puck the ball down. I mean, yeah. I'm confident enough to win this, so like he could easily play out there, and they'd feed off each other as well. If two big men are good under a high ball, they'd be under each other's breaking ball as well. So
right.
Definitely an option. Would he? Like he's played there for years, so we'd be no problem to him. But look, it's great. I think the response to being captain is the big thing. A lot of pressure on the young man's shoulders, yeah. Like going out captain and in a new position for the team, and to stand up like that, it would do his confidence a world of good. And lads will respond to that saying, "Jesus, this fella could be a future leader for us," you know. So I think it's a great, great thing for Kilkenny.
Right, okay, that's an interesting one. Jamie Barron, lads, you can't play him anywhere else, sort of. He's a midfielder, and he's just a sensational, isn't he?
Yeah, he just flies around the place. I'd say his stats for covering ground must be through the roof. I'd say he's a phenomenal player and great touch as well. And he just hits the ball and he goes again. He just doesn't rest in his laurels. He always wants the ball back again. He's not happy to just get the ball and get rid of it. He wants it back again. You know what I mean? It's a great sign of a player too, but a big leader for Watford yesterday.
Yeah, his skill levels are very underrated too because he is always buzzing around and he doesn't often miss when he shoots either.
No, he's brilliant going forward. You can see how much he loves it, Willie. And he's always a marked man for Waterford, so he's doing this while being marked, but it's because his timing's so good running through the middle, and they always give it to him. Like when he goes by that half forward line, they will always give it to him, and he's just so effective, lads just can't catch him, you know. And head down, he's bullish, you know. He is bullish for them, like a real leader for them. So like, you can't play him anywhere else because he can get away from players in the middle, whereas if he's marked, it's more difficult up the pitch to come back and then do that run, you know. So I think he's so good at coming from deep for Waterford, and he's so crucial for them. But whoever's playing against them have to put one man on just to sacrifice your game,
like a wing back.
You have to, because he does too much damage.
He'd run anyone into the ground. But you remember the goal he scored in extra time against Kilkenny?
How is he still going at that level?
Down the middle in the extra time
and sprints back. Then you see he gets the goal and sprints back out the pitch like it's nothing.
There's a psychology.
Exactly.
So look, I mean, they go forever.
Yeah, because it was Brian Fenton. I remember was one of the Leash players running after him, and he followed him the whole way down under the Cusack stand, and he cut in and he hand passed it off, and it was a pint, and the Leash fella went down on his knees. He was wrecked. Fenton three quarter pace back out to the midfield.
Give me the ball again.
How fit could this lad be?
But then he went and had a breather in the sneaky.
But there probably is that psychology of just never letting on that you're putting it in your lad's head that you're just completely on another level.
You could be in bits.
Shame you can't on getting the shoulder. He took it very well, but you could see him.
Oh yeah,
taking a breath. I'm not going to show this.
Oh lads, he was broke up, and he did. He stood up. Fair play to him.
No,
he did. He tried to disguise it.
You can see him taking that big breath.
Like he had one hand on the hip. Oh, he really got him. Oh,
yeah, no, brilliant.
But I did appreciate Callan's efforts at disguising
him. No, my own nerd.
He did disguise it. Yeah, David McInerney, that's 4 points from play. Right now, they scored 27. But like, I mean, we know what David McInerney. We had him on the show here, and I was calling him McAlealy. Like, is that your role? He says, look, there's no. It's not. It wasn't actually really discussed that he does the holding, and till it released Tony.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, we know he's combative. He's actually a speed demon as well. He's really fast. If he had scoring to his midfield, like Clare are a team that we'll talk about. You talk about experimenting and all that. They kind of know a lot of their team already. They've used the league to go, right, players know where 12 of the team, you know, have a good idea what Brian is thinking. And geez, I don't know, with a new manager, I'd be more of the line. Mick O'Dwyer took us over in 03. We knew the team pretty much throughout that league. Yeah. Like, he didn't come in saying, I'm going to try a whole lot of lads and end up in the middle of nowhere for championship. He went, I know 12 or 13 of my team and I'm going to see how good they are for the championship. And I would say the first round league game was the same as the first round championship game, bar one or two players. Is that not the smarter way to go?
It's a big thing for a new manager to come in, especially you get a couple of wins in your belt, it's huge thing for the players to buy in to what the new manager is doing as well. So Brian, in fairness to him, he made a few changes, but he knew, I'd say he was just thinking over the Christmas what he was going to do. And
that's it. He's the advantage of being conviction. From Clare.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. And looking at the Clare team over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, he probably has his own opinions on actually how to play.
Yeah.
And he's transferring them out onto the team now as well. And he's given Dave McNerney a new lease of life. Now, personally, myself, I've been on record here before. I'd rather see him centre back, to be honest with you. But he's hurling very, very well there. And he will get forward, but he will defend now as well. So, yeah, they're going well. And they're putting their own, in fairness to Brian, he's putting his own stamp on it now, and he's not afraid to make changes, and he has options there as well, which is a huge, huge thing.
That's it. So you're looking at Kieran Kingston.
Yeah.
He should have been looking at the last 2 years going, well, I know what he's ready. Mm. I have my team. Yeah. I'm sticking with this. I know what I'm doing. Shane O'Neill in Galway then obviously wouldn't have known those players all that well. You can understand why he's chopping and changing. So, you'd be almost more critical of Kieran Kingston based on what Brian Lowen has been doing. You're watching these lads. You're from that county.
Yeah.
If I was to take over Leash in the morning, you'd have 13 lads where you'd be thinking, that would be my team. You're picking it in pubs for the last, you know what I mean? Or talking amongst your friends, well, he's much better there. And you'd give it a league to see, maybe, well, I hope I'm right, you know?
Yeah. Maybe 3 players, you'd be saying to yourself, well, you're just 3 positions up here for grabs.
Yeah, yeah.
Not changing a whole forward line or a whole back line. Because you need that stability come championship. For Dave McInerney, for Clare midfield, Tony Kelly's been going to be the marked man all the time. So he's going to have that freedom midfield. He's not going to be the one that's closely watched. Now, he might be a bit more now, but I know Dublin put a marker on Tony Kelly wherever he went yesterday, and he got a point from play. But allowed freedom for David McNair to get on the pitch and get on scores. So he's going to enjoy that partnership a lot more. And if he starts scoring more, I might take a bit more pressure off Tony, because they'll have to start watching him as well. So
I think it's a
great partnership. I think it's really good. Pat O'Connor's an excellent centre-back. He's great at reading the game. So that will suit Clare. He just gets across that line and pops it around and gives the easy ball all the time. So I think Brian Lowen's done a fantastic job so far.
Yeah, he seems to. Again, you'd have to put the kind of caveat on that. Are Clare hitting these league games at a higher level than other teams? You don't know,
but
because
time will tell
in the championship. That was interesting, actually. I meant to say to you, Mick, is that Davy Fitz was saying last week that, you know, his running game and running off the ball, that the Dublin players were doing an awful lot of checking that, almost like football style.
Yeah.
Do you know, is that something you would have noticed with Dublin, that they're getting in lads' faces and stopping these runs? Or is that just... Davy just referenced Dublin, but he said it happens his team a lot.
Okay.
Because, their half-back line takes off without the ball and their markers are just trying to block those runs.
No, I've seen a lot from the Dublin forward line of... Like, the second they go to a man, it's the hand on the chest. And it's a very football thing to do, you know. Every one of them to a man has done it. All the games I've watched, they've come out straight away and they're doing this, no matter who's on the ball or where the ball is. So it might be mentality. Like, Matty Kenny's way of playing is off the ball. So if he's so good at playing it, he'll know what stops it, you know. And that's how Coolin won the All-Ireland too. Off the ball running non-stop. Mm. So if he's looking at a team like Wexford, he knows how to counter it.
Yeah.
You know, he's so good at doing it himself, he'll know what will stop that. So I'd say that's just an element of that.
Yeah.
He's so good at doing it himself.
Yeah.
So
Davy did reference Dublin. He says they were stopping runs all over the field.
That's aware of your opposition as well, though, in fairness. You have to give Matty a bit of credit there as well, because sure, one time you're saying that Sean Murphy is flying up the field and Paddy Foley are flying up the field, even Conor Bax are going up the field getting scores, and obviously they're stopping that at source, you know what I mean? If you can't run up the field, now they're going to check their runs.
Yeah,
sure, makes sense.
And you can't even do the Kevin Moore and dig now to stop that. So,
hands.
It is
please
something,
don't run up the field.
It is something, though, lads, that it's a bit of an eyesore in Gaelic football, in that when players are trying to catch up with the play, you'll see the other player turned around, faced him, pushing him in the chest.
Absolutely.
And it looks terrible.
It's not going to be caught either.
You wouldn't like it to come into hurling, because it's going on 3 years now in Gaelic football and linesmen still aren't calling it.
Yeah. You can't send it off because it's a push. It's not unless someone goes
it's
to ground.
Difficult,
it's
difficult.
But it's not a free.
It's
an eyesore, lads.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and if hurling's becoming more of that running game, and if you started seeing players doing that, because they'd have a hurling that could potentially stop them with the hurl, it would be terrible. But Dylan Quirk, lads, he got 5 from play. He was all over the field. Yeah. He got a whole lot of different types of points. I haven't heard of Dylan Quirk. You might laugh at me now. Should I have heard of him, or what's his
I didn't know too much from him.
No, either they. No.
The first score was the pick of the bunch. Jeez, it was a great score. Out in the wing, under pressure. He couldn't have been further closer to the sideline and over the bar. And it's the confidence he showed on the ball. We spoke about composure earlier, William. He looks like he's playing the game years because he was surrounded by 3 or 4 lads at different times in the games and managed to get out of that quite easily and take the score at the same time. So that's what really impressed me. And if you're keeping the likes of Jake Morrison all out of the team, who was the new up-and-coming lad, and he came on at midfield, because obviously it's getting tougher and tougher to get into that full forward line. So like, he definitely came out with a statement there, and I liked his interview after.
I did too.
It was honest and just like saying as it is. There was no bluffing or anything, you know.
Yeah. So I thought he spoke. I thought he spoke very well, and he said something along the lines of, "Well, I've been training hard all winter now, and I just was waiting for my chance."
Yeah, you know, because you think
of the poor fella, backing himself and training hard, wanting to get in. Then gets in a big game of Thurles and scores five. More than a man can do.
Great start. You have 2 points in the first 10 minutes. I'd say, right, give me the ball as much as possible. Confidence. The more we're talking about Jason Flynn as well, like, you know what I mean? Forwards love a couple of early scores getting into the game, and you have 2 points after 10 minutes in the game. You have the rest of the game to play, you know what I mean? You're on bonus 30 there anyway. You know what I mean? You're going to hurt well anyway when you have the 2 points scored, you know. But he was looking for the ball, and as I said, it's different scores. It wasn't always the same score he was getting to, and he's winning his own ball running at the defenders there as well. So, look, it's a work in progress for him, but he's a great start for him.
He's another option. He's definitely another option.
He looks very physical as well, in fairness to him.
Big enough. And he says Waterford had won 4 on the trot. I like that statement, on the trot. I think he got it wrong. They had won 3 3 on the trot or something like that. So yeah, Dylan Quirk is in the mix. Stephen Bennett, who I've criticised a lot on the show here, he's definitely in the mix as well. Scored 1-1 and probably showed up as being a bit of a leader for instead of being this young lad coming up, someone else does it. He was taking on responsibility and even took the free late short, so he's trying to work a goal himself. You know, take on that responsibility. Maybe the easiest thing there would be to try the shot that's never going to score. You really? Like, no. I mean, it usually hits a fella 2 metres before the goal. He deserves it anyways. But I think I'm going to give, Cathal Mannion. But you're not giving him credit because his brother gives him the ball all the time.
I just say sort of thing with my brother on the pitch. You just have that understanding. But he just gives him the ball. He must give him 5 or 6 balls a game. Easy, but in space.
Do you know what though? Like, how many times have we complained on the show about halfbacks not giving that little ball? And just because they're brothers, he's still doing the right thing.
You're not criticising here.
You're just saying it's funny the way he does it.
It's brilliant.
Because it does make sense. Give it to a fella who's a better playmaker. He'll take it on and he'll give a nice drilled little ball into the forwards. It makes sense though, doesn't it? When you see it being done like that.
Especially the hands that Cathal Mannion has. He's brilliant on the ball. Like, right or left, he never misses the ball. And scored a pointer yesterday now against the wind from 65 yards out. So he just flicked it straight over the bar, and had plenty of behind the goal as well. Like, you know, he's a great player.
He's a Rolls Royce of a player.
He's brilliant.
Isn't he? Just the way he carries himself on the field.
So casual. Always has time in the ball as well. Like, you know, he never seems to be under pressure. And it's just Jinx, he kind of throws out the ball, and then Jinx, you win for a hook. He'd make an easy of.
He'd stay so going, easy,
Like, you know, his head's always up.
Whereas with Flynn, I see sometimes his head's looking at the ball on the hurl. Whereas Mannion has the ball in the hurl and he's still looking around, where am I going to pass it? Where am I going to pass it? So maybe like Flynn could learn a thing or two, just to have that head up a bit more while you're running with the ball, because it just opens the game up more. You don't have to make that decision in that split second as the ball goes up. You know, you have the decision made before you even throw the ball up. So
That makes sense. I'm going to give performance of the weekend to Dylan Quirk, 5 from play. Pretty sure that was his debut in Thurles, and gave a nice little interview afterwards. So hopefully he'll win a few more on the trot, as he likes to say. So yeah, performance of the weekend goes to Dylan Quirk. Congratulations, and that's it. We'll be back on Thursday, and we'll preview. Just the two games next weekend, isn't it? It's supposed to be a free weekend, Jess. There's 2 weekends, so we'll talk to you on Thursday before those two. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.